Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful for the way that it equips us to live for Jesus. We pray, Father, that you would work through your word this morning to shape us into the likeness of Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, in our passage today, we read about people turning away from the truth to myths. This turning aside to myths. And it's been a constant refrain in both of Paul's letters to Timothy, this people searching after myths. The ESV version of the Bible puts it like this: they wander off into myths, wandering off the path, away from the true path, instead getting lost in these useless myths. And remember the context of the false teaching that Paul had been speaking to about in 2 Timothy. Worldly concerns and topics that kind of make their way into the church, and then teachers cover them with a Christian veneer. And then, you know, the people jump on this new teaching, this interesting discussion, and slowly it leads them away from the centre of the faith, away from the gospel. Ever more drawn into controversy and novelty, and away from the truth of God's word, away from the path. They wander from the path of the gospel. Perhaps you've seen it happen. Someone you know drawn in by some particular teaching, and then they do the deep dive into it. They become fascinated with it. They start to read everything in light of that particular teaching. And as far as you can tell, this teaching is not important stuff. It's concerned with things that are periphery, on the edge, that are unimportant. They're built up to seem important. Several years ago, there was this big concern among a bunch of younger generations of Christians, some younger than me, that Christians had ignored the authentic experience of the faith, the authentic experience element of the living the Christian life. And so there was this great interest into the kind of more charismatic theology and charismatic teachings in this quest for experience. Really, it was a surge of interest inspired by a more general quest for experience in society at large, which, as it came into the church, it found Christian dress and all these questions about the role of the Spirit in the life and experience of the believer. And the result was that it encouraged people to invest time away from the core truths of the gospel of God's true word, rather in investigating debates and controversies around the Spirit, letting people wander off into unhelpful debates, some even wandering away from the path of the gospel. Now, I think there are many instances where it's a pretty dramatic wandering from the path, but I think the more dangerous version is the subtle, gently enticement away from the path. The teaching that seems so reasonable that it's a shock when you find yourself removed from the gospel. So how can we prepare ourselves to deal with these sorts of teachings? How do we spot the false teaching, especially when it's so enticing? How do we make sure that we stick on the path with the gospel? Well, in our passage today, we come to this moment where Paul is charging Timothy with the ministry he's to do. And he gives him this charge in the context of the people who won't want to listen, but rather kind of enticed by these arguments, want to wander from the path. And so as we read Paul's instruction to Timothy, I think that we'll see how we also might avoid that danger of wandering from the path that Paul warns Timothy of. So let's look at Paul's charge to Timothy in the first bit there in verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Now, the first thing that jumps out as you read those verses is just how serious a charge this is. Paul names the witnesses, you know, who he's making this charge in front of: God and Christ Jesus. He wants Timothy to know that this charge for his ministry is not just Paul's advice, but this charge is God's charge for Timothy. This is God's call for Timothy to do this preaching and teaching ministry. Now, in some senses, there's not much new about this charge that Paul gives him here. He's to preach the word. It's kind of the thing that Paul's been telling him throughout, both this letter and the previous one. And as he does that, the scripture will do all that God has made it useful to do. As Timothy preaches and teaches the Bible, he uses it to correct, to rebuke, to encourage. Which, of course, is an echo of how Paul describes the usefulness of scripture to do these things in chapter 3, verse 16. But considering the context that Timothy is going to go into, this is not going to be an easy task. In verse 3, we read that people will not want to listen to this sound teaching that Timothy is bringing from God's word. And I think that's why Paul tells Timothy to be prepared in season and out of season. Now, not only does this have that sense of always being on duty, the kind of 24 hours on call, and so being ready to go when the opportunity comes to preach, not only does it mean that, but I think it also has the sense of the word, of preaching the word no matter the situation or circumstance that you're in. Timothy's to be ready in season and out of season, in the good times and in the bad times. He's to be ready to preach the word when it's convenient and inconvenient. And we know from verse 3 that the times that Timothy will face are bad times, where people won't want to listen. Sort of like the experience of the prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel. They were sent to preach a word that was to be ignored and rejected. The preaching and teaching that Timothy will do will be hard work, but he's to stick with the gospel, to preach the word no matter the reception it receives. And as he engages with the people who are rejecting the word, he's of course to try and bring them back to the truth, bring them back to the path of the gospel. He's to correct, rebuke, and encourage them. Correct them as he convinces them of the way that they've gone wrong and help them to see the truth for what it says. Rebuke them as he calls out wrong as wrong and tells people to abandon that wrong teaching. And then encourage them as he urges people to live in line with the truth. In all these actions, he's to bring God's word to the people and to bring them back to the right path. And notice the manner he's to do it in: patient and careful instruction. Timothy's to be gentle with them, but always holding to the truth as he instructs them. And these two parts are essential in bringing people back to the truth. A commentator kind of talked about these two things in this way. To correct and rebuke without patience is damaging to those you seek to bring back to the right path. But to correct and rebuke without teaching leaves the error they have fallen to unaddressed and liable to do future damage. Patience and instruction. The manner that Paul speaks of here is a helpful comment for those of us who are seeking to bring back brothers and sisters back to living in line with the truth. We need to preach the word of God to people, but do so with patience as we hold out the truth. And Timothy's to preach this word in season and out of season, to keep preaching the truth when it's well received and when it's not. He's to stick with the truth of God's word because this is the source of life and blessing. God's word brings spiritual health to people. This is what people need, even though they can't see it at times. It's kind of like when I'm getting my kids to brush their teeth. Most of the time, they don't want anything to do with it. They just fuss around or they do that kind of cursory little brush and, you know, oh, that's all done. And other times, rare times, they're surprisingly open or enthusiastic to it, but for some reason. But whatever their response to the toothbrush, I need to be prepared to keep brushing their teeth, regardless of how they feel, because I know it's good for them. And I know it'll be good for my wallet when the dentist bill comes. This is the same for Timothy. The best thing that he can do for people is preach the word. Because the word is what God has given to shape people and equip people to live for Jesus. It's true for us as well, isn't it? We need to be hearing... Oh, the lights are all going today. Sorry, I light went at 8:15. We need to be listening to God's word, not worrying about the lights. We need to be hearing it in season when we're keen and ready to hear it, and out of season when it's a struggle and we'd rather not listen to what it has to say. We need to listen to the word of truth, even when it says things to us that we don't want to hear. Because the word of God is the word of life. It nourishes and equips us. So make scripture a daily habit. Read it when it's a joy, and read it when it's a slog. And read all of it. Don't just focus on the bits you like and ignore all the hard bits or the bits that you don't like. Read it all. Read it regularly. And this rigorous engagement, this commitment to a rigorous engagement with God's word is especially important because of who we are and the itching ears that we have. The context, as we've already seen, has some particular issues. That means that people are less likely to listen to Timothy. They're instead seeking to hear teaching that satisfies their itching ears. Verse 3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. The situation that Paul's showing here is how the people have gone off the path. They've gathered teachers to say what they want to hear. And so they've turned from the truth and instead turned towards these myths. Instead of sticking with the truth, with sound doctrine, teaching from the Bible that brings health and goodness, they've turned to these other teachings. But these teachings are simply there to scratch the itch of their sinful desires. And they're seeking to get teachers to teach what they want to hear, teaching that aligns with their desires. In essence, what they're doing is they're getting these teachers to justify their worldly desires, gathering up and listening to all those who will endorse their worldly way of thinking and living, having their ungodly appetites fed by these false teachers, all while trying to pretend that this is actually Christian teaching. And to further justify their position, not only have they found teachers who are willing to teach these things, but they've gotten together a great number of them. A large group to sort of drown out Paul and Timothy, as though the greater number actually determines what the truth is. And so as we think about identifying false teaching and trying to stick on the path, we need to consider what kind of methods that we might use to justify our desires. Justifying a worldly desire by appealing to the teachers that we choose. Here, the tactic has been an appeal to the majority. Most Christians aren't strict around drinking, for instance, and so it must be all right to have a few too many now and again. Or perhaps we appeal to the authority, an authority. Well, this teacher of this really big ministry says that if you focus on just being positive around the non-Christians in your life, then they'll somehow come to follow Jesus. Or perhaps we appeal to the expert. This teacher's done all the research into the Greek word behind, evangelism, and says that it's only for those who are gifted. So I don't need to be telling people about Jesus. It's just selective listening, isn't it? Choosing who we listen to so that we can shape Christianity around our wants and desires. And there are lots of examples that these false teachings work their way into church, aren't there? Where worldly desires have pushed an agenda into the church and Christianized teaching has come in to sort of justify the agenda, allowing people to justify wandering from the truth. The current LGBTIQ discussions, where some are allowing sexual ethics defined by the world to dictate how Christians should understand God's plans for marriage and what love actually is. Or in the gender in ministry debates that happen, where extreme versions of patriarchy or feminism come in and lead people to these big arguments about the meaning of words or unknowable historical context in order to justify their thinking. Or the Christianized version of the positive thinking movements, where because Christians are to be loving, we are to affirm everything and negate nothing. Or the prosperity gospel, which is just a mishandling of God's word to justify greed. These teachings are dangerous. They move our focus away from the gospel and instead focus on, at best, unimportant side issues, but at worst, sin dressed up in Christian teaching. All of which leads us away from the sound and healthy teaching of God's word into myth and vapid nothingness, which can and does destroy the faith of some. So we need to be asking, who are we listening to? Are we focusing only on what we'd like to hear? What backs up the position we're already in? Or are we allowing Scripture to challenge us as well? Are we listening to those who so often ride hobby horses, talk about the same thing over and over and again, or those who are seeking to bring all Scripture to bear, not dodging the hard bits? Is there unhelpful scriptural teaching that we find ourselves spending more and more time and thought over? Friends, we need to be careful in who we listen to and what we listen to, so that we are not led astray by our itching ears. So how do we do that? Well, we endure in the truth. Verse 5 ends with Paul giving Timothy this similar charge, which sounds similar to verse 1 and 2. But his emphasis here is on how Timothy is to be different to those who chase the false teaching. Verse 5, "But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." I think in essence, Paul is telling Timothy to endure in the truth. Not only because of, you know, the charge in verse 1 and 2, but the call to endure hardship here is a call for Timothy to endure in suffering for the gospel, not just generic suffering. To stick with the gospel and bear with it through the hardships that come. Something that Paul has been calling Timothy to do throughout the letter. But in light of the situation that we've sort of seen Paul describing, I think it's interesting that Paul tells him to keep his head. That is, to be sober-minded, to be clear in his thinking. And in the context of false teaching, this plays out in being clear about the truth, and so being able to rightly point out what is false teaching. But I wonder if there's a sense in which Timothy's to be able to think clearly about the whole situation, not just the teaching aspect. Being able to rightly see and discern the ways that people are subtly chasing teaching that really is about chasing their sinful desires, and then getting Christian teaching to justify them. And so Timothy's to have a sober view of himself and his hearers, knowing that all of us have sinful desires at play in us, tempting us away from the path. Paul telling Timothy here, therefore, to keep his head both in how he addresses the false teaching, but also in the way that he's to have a clear biblical view of who he and his hearers are. People with sinful desires who can be tempted to wander from the truth. And so being clear-minded to be able to discern when that temptation is happening, when there is that pull away from the path of the truth, no matter how subtle it is. Which means that Timothy, of course, is to think clearly about his own desires and so avoid wandering into teaching that justifies it himself. So the question for us is, as we seek to stick on the path, how can we make sure that we are thinking soberly about ourselves? to make sure that we're reminded about our own sinful desires that are not only in our hearts and what we love, but also in our minds. And the way that this leads us away from God's truth. The sinful desires of our hearts and also our seemingly rational and trustworthy thinking. And here are some ways I think we can encourage that clear-headed, sober thinking about ourselves and the way that we might be tempted to wander from the truth, justifying it either emotionally or intellectually. First, we can pray that God would reveal it to us. A scary prayer, but one that is good to do. That God would reveal our sin to us. That he would show us whether a fascination about some obscure Christian teaching or whatever it might be is really just us trying to feed our sinful desires. Second, we should make sure that we're letting Scripture speak to our lives and expose our sin. Engaging with all of what Scripture says, not just the things that we like or the things that kind of pat us on the back. Third, we should bring others into our lives who can point out areas in our lives where we might just be justifying worldly desires with a Christian veneer. Inviting a correction or a critique. Or being open to having people challenge us on, you know, maybe we've had some deep dive into some novel Christian teaching. Asking others what they think of it too. Friends, we're in a battle. And we need to be able to see things clearly. Know if the enemy is sneaking up behind us with some dangerous teaching that scratches that unhealthy itch that we have. We need to know where our weak spots are. And to know where our weak spots are and to win the battle with, we need to stick with the truth. And as we stick with the truth, it's enduring in the truth. Enduring the hardships that come with this battle. Both as people oppose the gospel, but also as the Scripture points out our sinful desires and we say no to them. As we stick with the truth, especially when it's hard to hear. Because we've got to remember the truth, God's truth, the gospel, is the way of truth, life and goodness. It's God's word that nourishes us and feeds us and equips us. And so as we stick with it, it helps us to, as Paul tells Timothy, fulfill our ministries. That is, fulfill the good works that God has prepared for us to do. So how do we stay on the path? We stick with the truth. Even when it's uncomfortable. Especially when it doesn't say what we'd like it to say. We need to listen to what the Word of God actually says. And we stick with it, remembering that this is the way of life and goodness. This is the truth of the King whose kingdom is coming. Let me pray that we would stick with this truth. Heavenly Father, please forgive us for the ways that we are led by our sinful desires away from your truth. Help us to stick with the gospel, to listen to it even as it points out our sin and says things that we may not like. We ask, Father, that you would help us to be able to think clearly about ourselves and the dangerous teaching that comes in its subtle ways. Please help us to be transformed by your word, that we might complete the good works that you've prepared for us to do. Amen.